enjoyed a little bit cooler day yesterday. Nice. If this is your first time here, and you're brave, would you raise your hand? If you're a first timer. Do we have anybody here? Yeah, awesome. We got some. Free coffee for you. A little coffee gift certificate that you get free coffee in the coffee shop after the service. And so we will make sure that you get that. Aaron's on it. How many of you guys are getting your weekly emails? How many of you guys have not got your weekly emails and you really want one? A couple of you. Okay. We've got to get you signed up. They're awesome. And it's a great way actually to stay connected with what is happening, what's going to happen, and what has happened. Aaron's been putting those together for us and is doing a great synopsis of my message. I think it sounds better when she writes it all down. Like, I didn't remember preaching. That was a good word. Preaching how good that was. That was amazing. I got to get a copy of that message. But she does a great job breaking it down and from her notes and stuff. So it's a great way. If you missed, you can kind of see where we're at, what we're talking about. And it's been a lot of fun. And it's just really is good. And all the summer stuff that we announced is all in there. And so it's just a great way to stay connected. Yeah. I feel like there's something else I'm supposed to do, but I can't think of what it is. So on we go. Last week we had communion together. We talked about water. How many of you were here last week? Raise your hand if you were here. Wow, how many of you weren't here last week? Oh my goodness, like half. So then I was kind of thinking, well, you guys were all here. You all weren't all here. So last week, anyway, we did communion together. We talked about the verse there in 1 Corinthians that talks about preparing your heart for communion together. And I use the analogy of a leaky or water in your house. Everything from a little bit of water on the floor that you can just clean up and has no lasting effect to a frozen pipe that runs for weeks and actually can destroy an entire house. And that sin is actually a lot like that. If we don't deal with sin quickly when it first happens, even as believers, as we're pursuing God, we know that we make mistakes, things get spilt. And we want to make our best effort to quickly, with the Lord, clean up those messes. Repent, if you will, and clean up the mess. And then oftentimes there's not a long lasting effect. But when we let sin kind of fester and grow and be there, and you know, the analogy of a frozen pipe just continually spraying and in the house and flooding and damaging, and then sometimes it can take years to get back to a house that can be livable in. And anyway, so that's what we talked about last week, and really going through that process of forgiveness and the gift of forgiveness through the cross and celebrating that. But I want to talk about then what? I want to talk about destiny. I believe that we've talked about it a lot, that our lives actually begin at the cross. That when we meet Jesus, our old man dies and a new life begins. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about destiny. I believe that we are all created to be something and to do something. We were created in God's image with an identity, and we are created and put on the earth with a destiny. So we're created to be something, and we're created to do something. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about. I want to dig into that. Are you guys okay with that? Thank you. I'm glad. How many of you feel, let's be just really honest here for a minute, You don't have to participate if you don't want. But how many of you feel like you could raise your hand and say, I know what my destiny is? How many of you would say, I know I have a destiny? And then lastly, how many of you say, maybe I don't know what that destiny is yet? Okay. So I think it's a pretty actual normal question to wonder, what is my destiny? Remember, we're talking about, when I talk about destiny, it's inclusive. We're going to talk about how it's inclusive of identity. But destiny is what God put you here on the earth to do. Now, obviously we have seasons. We live longer than a little while. So we oftentimes our destiny shifts and changes. Or maybe we just shift and change and it was always God's plan. But basically there's different times, different things are happening at different times. So at one point you might be called to the mission field and years later you might be called to something else. At one point you might be called to, you know, be a fireman, and then, you know, 10 years later, God calls you into being a pastor. It doesn't mean you were wrong then and now you're right, or vice versa. But I believe that there is actually there's a destiny. There's a thing in time that God actually created a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says that He has a plan for us. And I believe that God, when He thought us up, that He didn't just throw us together, but that He actually created us with a purpose and a destiny. I believe that God actually put us on the earth when He formed us and created us. He put us and said, I'm putting them here for this. And I believe that nobody else can do you like you can do you. That doesn't mean that God has one plan to save the world, and if you don't step up, then the whole world... That's not what I mean. There's other people that God brings in and changes, because people miss their destiny. We miss it. We postpone it. We do all, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But the idea is getting on the same page where we actually believe that God has actually created us, that we're not random. This is what I believe. I believe that we're not random. We're actually created with the gifts and with the character of, sorry, not character, but with the personality that He designed and actually put together. And amazingly enough, we're all different. The reason why He created us all different, because He has different destinies for all of us. He has different purposes. When I say destiny, oftentimes we think destiny like there's this great voyage, but I also am including like today. What were you created to do today? What's today supposed to look like? That's part of your destiny. Today is going to be different than tomorrow. But I believe that when we're walking in partnership with God, co-laboring with God, He actually has a destiny for our day. You guys okay with that? Yeah. Are you with me? So I want to talk about that. I'm going to look a little bit into it, but it has to start with this, at least entertaining the idea that that might be true, that it's not all random. Now, destiny. Most oftentimes your identity is very closely connected, if not actually revealing your destiny. Who you are is connected and leads into what you should be doing. I've got two kids, and I have worked for a while, Shannon and I, to invest in their identity. But I didn't create their identity. I helped shape their character, and I helped shape their core values, but God created their identity. I just got the honor of taking care of it and helping reveal it to them. I had the privilege of taking these two kids and trying to show them who they are. Not who I think they are, but who God actually created them to be. That's identity. Our identity is who we were created to be. When we figure out our identity, oftentimes our destiny is just right there. Because when we know who we are, it's easier to know what we're supposed to be doing. So we're gonna start a little bit with identity. But it's really important that we understand, and I'm kind of throwing a couple messages into one because I want to get to where we're going. But Shelley had a word, I think, I'm not sure if you shared it on Sunday morning last week or just in staff, but talking about upgrade. We're in the midst of an upgrade. And God oftentimes, in order to release destiny to people, show destiny, He'll oftentimes upgrade identity. If He can upgrade and meet and upgrade your identity, basically what you, revealing to you who He created you to be, when you really believe it and you step into your identity, you just naturally look for destiny. The amazing thing that we were created to be is when we realize that we are special, we look for something special to do. It's just natural. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I want to keep going. When we deny our identity, oftentimes we delay our destiny. I don't know that we can, and this is just, I'm throwing this out. I don't know if we can change our destiny. I believe God has created, but we definitely can delay it. For those of you that feel like you've either found, you're really close to finding, or are walking in your destiny, how many of you can look back and realize that you delayed it? Yeah. Like, wow, I took a long way around to get to where I always should have been. Yeah. And I can almost guarantee you, if you really look at it, it's connected to identity. It's connected to the fact that I didn't know who I was, and so I was out here looking for who I was, and I delayed my destiny. I didn't necessarily change it because I eventually got to where God wanted me to get because I finally listened. Now, you can inevitably delay your destiny. You can inevitably delay it. Like, I'm just going to constantly avoid my identity in Christ and I'll forever miss my destiny. But it doesn't change it. It's still what God created you to do. Now, you can avoid it your entire life. We see it. It happens. And so it doesn't matter where you are in this trip, whether you're looking for a destiny, whether you found your destiny, but what's important is that we realize that identity and destiny are connected. And when we figure out identity and grab a hold of our identity in Christ, our destiny is right there waiting for us. That's what we want to get because we're talking about destiny. Are you still with me? Okay. So we're going to talk about Zechariah. Oh, now I get it. No, it's okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Luke 1. I'm going to build the story a little bit. Zechariah, he's about to get this massive identity upgrade that leads and is included in his destiny upgrade. But now he's a guy that loves the Lord. But he's childless. And there was a story that needed to happen. There was a destiny that God had for this man to actually be the parent of the person that would pave the way and prepare the world for Jesus. Zechariah was John the Baptist's dad. So a lot of times John the Baptist gets this kind of blip on the radar that we know he's there, but mostly because of Jesus, because of their interaction. But actually, we're gonna look at the prophetic word over John and how amazing and crucial he was in leading to Jesus and preparing the world for Jesus, and how he actually ahead of time turned the church, at least a portion of the church and the believers, the people that were pursuing God, that he actually ahead of time before Jesus came, he actually positioned them and turned them to be ready to receive Jesus. We don't get to see it a lot, but you get to see it a little bit in this story. So, and this is his dad that we're talking about. This is his dad before he was born. And so we're going to start in Luke 1:11. It says, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But when the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, you prayed. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." Now, oftentimes, remember, we're talking about identity and destiny upgrades. Oftentimes, if not all the time, they start with an encounter. There's some kind of encounter. And if you've ever had an encounter, oftentimes, at least at the beginning or the initial kind of encounter, if it's a powerful one, it's scary. I'm not sure what's happening right now. I can feel something. I can see something. I can hear something. My first real encounter with God, I would swear to you that it was audible. So we things happen. There's some kind of encounter. I was sharing with my nephew recently. He's going to the camp, and he's the same age, same summer in his life that I got called to be a youth pastor at JH Ranch. And so I told him the story. Like, this is what happened to me 22 years ago when I did what you're just about to do. He's going this summer. Same age. I was 16, I think. Is that right? 17. And I just turned 17. And at that moment, it literally, like, you could trace my life over the last 22 years back to that moment. Now, of course, there's a whole bunch before that that influenced that moment. But that was the moment where I decided to turn and go, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be in full-time ministry if God wants me the rest of my life. And that's what I did. And so, anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So, whatever that has to do with anything, that's just a free story. Okay. Encounter. Thank you. Alice is on it. We were talking about an encounter. That was the initial encounter. It changed my life. Identity upgrade that led to destiny. So oftentimes when we have that initial encounter, especially when we're specifically talking about our identity in Christ, it comes from an encounter. And here we are in this encounter. And how many of you guys know, even when we get what we pray for, sometimes it scares us? You know, when we get what we pray for, we're like, "God, I want to be healed." All of a sudden you're healed. You're like, "I don't even know what to do now." That's amazing. Yeah. Amazement and fear are actually, or awe. Awe and fear can be closely connected sometimes. It's just a different perspective. All right. So he gets this encounter, and we catch a glimpse of what's to come. Let's keep reading. 14, it says, this is the angel telling him, "He will be a great joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God." This is where I was talking about. Remember, he kind of steers people towards and gets them ready for Jesus. Like, he turns them back. And actually, but he's not the one that receives them. He actually turns them back, and Jesus is the one that actually receives them and the disciples. But anyway, this is a prophetic declaration from the angel speaking into that. "Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." God has this plan. God has this plan. He reveals this plan. God sends an angel in physical form, as far as we can tell. Maybe he's shiny, I don't know. Enough to scare this guy and show up. And Zechariah sees him, and he's there, and then he begins to tell him, this is what God's going to do. This is your destiny. You're going to have a son. This is it. It's connected to identity, but he's revealing destiny. This is actually what's going to happen. This is who you are, but this is what you're going to do. All the way down to, like, this is what you're going to name your son. And this is what your son's going to do. And this is destiny. This is your destiny. So what we're going to see in just a second, and what happens next, is actually Zechariah had a different Now, remember, Zechariah was actually a priest. He was the guy that was supposed to be leading people into encounters with God. And this is where he was at. He was at the altar doing his job. He was at the church doing whatever he was doing at the church. And God showed up and he was scared. He didn't even know what to do. God, you're at church. I'm thankful we've come a long way since this. So, in Luke 1:18, Zechariah asks the angel, "How can I be sure of this?" We say, "Oh, darn. How can I be sure of this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." She's not old. She's just well along in years. I'm old. She's well along in years. Man of grace. Sometimes when God answers our prayers, we get trapped in our past. We get trapped in how we got to where we are. And his reality, his reality trapped him from his destiny. He wouldn't receive the truth because it didn't line up with how he viewed where he was and where he had been. But the fact was, it was still the truth. What he did at this point, not intentionally, but God had a destiny for his life. He only chose the way that he was going to walk through it. He made a choice, and he didn't know it at the time, but he made this choice of actually where what came out of his heart was actually doubt. What came through out his mouth was doubt. Like, how, you need to prove this. How can I? This can't be right. This isn't true. I'm too old. She's too old. We're not going to have a kid. I don't believe you, actually. Which, I love the reaction. Not the fact that he was, his voice was taken away. But this is, in 19, this is, the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." That was funny. When I was reading this verse, I was kind of imagining, like I like to do. I was imagining, I don't know, this council in heaven where God's sitting there and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, somehow doing their thing. And then there's these, like, the top dog angels are, like, gathered around it. God's discussed. I'm making this up. You understand? Like, just to make sure you understand. This is me, like, just dreaming about what might happen. Everybody okay? This is my imagination. Cameron said that. No. So anyway, I get to see everybody kind of gathered around, and God's going, "This is what we're going to do." And they're looking down, and he's like, "Yeah, we're going to use that guy. Zechariah, we're going to use him. Who wants to tell him?" And Gabriel's like, "Me. I'll do it. That sounds awesome. And God, it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to go down and I'm going to tell him. And he's going to be, that's amazing. This is so great. And we're going to celebrate together." And blah, blah, blah. And so I picture Gabriel showing up like, "This is good news." You see, he says that. He goes, "I was with God. And I came all the way down here to give you good news. And that's your response? No more talking for you. That's it. You're done. You don't get to talk anymore." I imagine that Gabriel is disappointed. Because I also think that angels actually envy us. I think that the angels maybe are a little bit jealous of what we get to do and who we get to be. Because they don't have a lot of, they serve God, but God really loves us. I know he loves, you understand, I'm not going to create theology, trying to create theology, but I think that Gabriel was really excited, more excited for Zechariah than he realized. He was like, "God chose you out of all the people, and he chose you to have this guy. And this, what this guy's going to do, and you don't know this yet, but God, but this guy's going to bring Jesus. He's going to pave the way for Jesus. Like, you're a really big deal." Zechariah's like, "I don't know, I'm pretty old." And Gabriel is just like, "I am Gabriel. I was with God." Basically saying, like, actually, God told me this. I'm not making this stuff up. God told me, and I showed up to tell you. And because you have doubt, and because you don't believe me, you don't get to talk anymore. Your mouth, I don't like it. It's gone. You don't get to use it anymore. And actually, we'll see later on in Scripture that I think that he was actually deaf too. He was mute and deaf because they couldn't actually talk to him and ask him questions. They actually had to sign to him. We'll see. You'll see it in a second. But he basically goes, you can watch the world go by, but you don't get to participate anymore. You get to watch. You get to watch God work, but you stepped out of your destiny. You don't get to do it. And when you align yourself on this day, when it actually comes and you can't deny it, then you can come back in. Then you'll be ready. Yeah, that was a good move. Gabriel was, yeah, that was awesome. Good move, Gabriel. I think when Gabriel comes back and God's like, how did it go? Well, so I have those conversations with God in my parenting. He's like, you know, we thought of this, yeah, we came up with this really good plan and we're going to do this and it's going to be okay. I got there and it doesn't go that way. And I come back to me, God, how did it go? I'm like, I don't know, God, you don't know what you're doing. I don't think, no, and it's me. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Maybe it's just the way I see God and helps me. Yeah. So bang, he's mute, deaf. Because he can't get over his past. He can't get over his reality. How many of us, how often does it happen? How much does our view and our limited reality subdue or steal our destiny? You know, how often do we disqualify ourselves from the prophetic words or from the ideas, even the imagination? How often do we disqualify ourselves because of a million different reasons or because of the way we embrace our current state or our current reality? You know, I couldn't teach the Bible because I'm not educated enough, or I can't be a missionary. I don't have any. This one is funny. I wrote it down. I thought, huh, wow. I can't be a missionary. I don't have any money. I don't know any missionaries with money. So, but I've had that conversation with lots of people. Like, I've got to have money. And then I could become, you know, huh. Because after you become a missionary, then you don't have any money. Yeah. Anyway. You know, I can't share, I can't preach, I can't do it. I've only been a Christian for, fill in the blank, you know, 5, 10, 20, 50 years. Yeah, next year you'll be ready. Or how about just, I failed last time, so I'll probably fail this time. That might cover a little more. Yeah, I couldn't do it yesterday, so I can't do it today. Really, that was Zechariah's reality. It's like, we've been too old for a little while. It wasn't today, like, oh, you just missed it by one day. No, we've been old for a while. And so my reality is that we're not at the age where we can have kids anymore. God, you picked the wrong person. I think you got the wrong address. Oh, yeah. Like UPS. It's like, no, it's, oh, yeah, that's this. Yeah. No, you picked the right guy. But his reality was stealing his destiny. His past had told him that it was not possible. But God was upgrading his identity so that he could embrace his destiny. He needed an identity upgrade to actually do and be. And the way that this worked was that Angel actually, I think it would be awesome. I think. Most of the world would be deaf, but if whenever we like stepped out, God was like, oh yeah? Just, you know, everybody is like, you know, how's everybody doing? You can't talk. You're like, oh, you missed it. Yeah, well, a couple days. You'll figure it out. You know, if God was that direct, if God was that much like, you know. But with grace and Holy Spirit, sometimes God's that direct. But the heart of God's still the same. Is that we have to have an upgrade. If what God is speaking over our lives, if our destiny, the destiny that's been spoken to us, the dreams that we're having, are not possible in our current reality, with currently who we are, we need to allow God to upgrade who we are. Or, better said, the revelation of who we are. We need to Him to reveal at another level who we're created to be. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm not educated enough, I'm not wealthy enough, I'm not whatever, I'm not whatever, I'm not whatever. Upgrade. It's time for an upgrade. Because when your identity is upgraded, when it upgrades your reality, when your reality is upgraded, you can embrace your destiny. Okay, reading on. This is a good verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Do we believe that or do we not? It's hard not to learn from your past. Some things we need to learn from our past. Like, you know, you touch a stove. Oh, that's hot. I don't want to touch that again. Like, understandable. There's things we need, mistakes we need to learn, all those things. But oftentimes when it comes to identity and destiny, it's hard not to learn. Because you can fail at something 20 times and you can learn some things. But if what you learn is to not do that anymore, understand, I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about trying to. Are you guys with me? I don't need to know. Yeah. It's hard not to learn from your past. Because especially when the enemy is reminding you of it all the time. It's hard to not learn or let your past, let your mistakes, let the negative things you've done influence your identity. Like we were talking about when we're talking about sin. It's hard to not let sin influence your current identity. Well, I made a mistake. And so this is who I am. Or more often than not, I've been making this mistake for 20 years. And so this is who I am. Most of the time, one mistake, we're like, oh, that's not me. I don't want to do that. It's easier. But what we're talking about really is continually living in a mistake. Man, I just can't. There's no way I can get from where I am to where God really wants me to be. That's for somebody else. If I can just survive in the corner, that'll be good enough. But God doesn't have just survival for you. We live first, but that's the beginning. We come to life first. That's the beginning. We're not meant to hide. We're not meant to just, like, I'll just come in the door, but I don't. No, we're meant, He created you for something. No matter how long you've been avoiding it. No matter how far of a detour you take. So Luke 1:7, this is the fun part where it all. 1:57, sorry. Yeah, farther down in the story. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Big surprise. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. Remember, because his father can't talk. But his mother spoke up and said, because if you read the other part of the story, the angel actually came to the mother too and relayed some information. Sorry, I lost my place. The mother spoke up and said, no. He's to be called John. This is a little window into the culture of how much it's changed. Because she goes, no, his name's John. And they're like, yeah, well, we'll see. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. This is the part we were talking about where he was most likely deaf as well. It says they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is the child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. It's important. I'm going to keep reading in a second, but it's important to realize that the restoration came, and restoration comes when you realign yourself with the truth. As soon as he physically realigned himself with the truth that was spoken, the destiny that was spoken over him, he was healed. There was restoration. Super, super important. 67 says, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through the holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." Now, who's he talking about? Not his son. He's talking about Jesus. He's prophesying about Jesus. So this is pretty amazing. He doesn't immediately go to. So he says his name's John. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't start. We're going to get to the place where he starts talking about John and relaying the prophetic word over his son. But he instantly goes to God and Jesus. The Holy Spirit begins to speak to him and prophesy to, this is what's happening. And meanwhile, in that some distance away, Jesus is also being born. That's happening at the same time. Nearly the same time. And so this is happening, and he's prophesying that this is God's heart. After an angel of the Lord just deafened him for what we believe to be somewhere around 9 months, 10 months. When he comes out of it, there he is with, this is God's heart. Now, what I would give to read his journal over that 10 months. Maybe in heaven we get to read through that journal of how God, and I mean, I just picture that there was, God still had a destiny for him. He just didn't get to talk. And so what he was doing inside of his mind, and what he obviously could write because he wrote, his name's John. So that's where I'm getting to this fantasy, basically, about him being able to write and what God did with him to then get him ready for this moment where the Holy Spirit comes on him and he begins to prophesy about Jesus. Just amazing. And remember, he had a relationship with God. He was a priest. So it wasn't like it was brand new. I mean, he's an educated person. You know, probably top education for the time. Reading and writing and all that thing. And knew who God was. And so just amazing to be, have a window into his head during this time of like, and obviously, probably, well, obviously, I say obviously. Most likely, as soon as the angel made him deaf, or made him mute, he probably regretted what he had just said. Like, oh, missed it. You're right. Oh, no, too late. And then obviously, sometime really soon after that, his wife got pregnant. So he realized the mistake he made long before he actually got to walk out and step back into his own destiny. Anyway, are you guys all right? Okay. So he's talking about Jesus' prophecy. And then I love that, and this was kind of unintentional, but this part that talks about him rescuing us from the hand of our enemies. And he enables us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. Talking about Jesus is what we talked about last week. Like the fact that the blood of the cross actually enables us to serve God without fear. That is a completely new, if you're looking at where these guys are coming from, it's a covenant of fear. It's a covenant of avoiding punishment. Like, these are all the list of things that you do to avoid punishment and the wrath of God. And when you screw up, you come to the priest and the priest tries to make it okay for the rest of the year or whatever the time frame is. And so he's prophesying this new relationship, the new covenant in his blood that actually allows us to serve Jesus without fear and holiness and righteousness. Totally new. Pretty amazing. Anyway, I love that. Okay, in 76 it says, "And you, my child," so he's prophesying about Jesus and he turns his attention to John. And he says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him." So again, he's referring to Jesus. He's telling this story to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Just awesome. I love the fact that Zechariah steps back into his destiny, aligns himself with his destiny through prophetic declaration. He steps back in saying, "This is the truth." That was an 8-year-old baby. Eight-day-old baby. You're on it. 8-day-old baby. 8-year-old wouldn't make sense with what I'm about to say. The baby's 8 days old. He's not going to remember all this stuff. And he's not telling him, like, who's he telling? He's telling himself. "I didn't believe this 10 months ago. This is not where I was. But now I'm here. I'm standing in this and I'm declaring it prophetically over you. Because this is the truth that I'm choosing to walk in. This is my destiny. This is who I am. This is who you are. I'm the father of this child. And this is what the angel told me. So this is what's going to happen. Can I keep talking, please? Don't take it. I promise I believe it." If you want to walk in your destiny, you have to embrace the truth and walk through the upgrade. And despite what some people may tell you, if you want to walk in your destiny, you have to embrace the truth and walk through an upgrade. Despite what some might tell you, God does not give up on you. Despite what we've been taught, despite what we've been told, despite what you might feel, God doesn't give up on you. He does let you detour. He does let you take as much time as you need. But what it takes is aligning yourself in the truth, knowing who you are in Christ, and stepping into what God's spoken over your life. That cross was for this. He died to restore us. He died to give you your life back. He died so you could have an identity in Christ and a destiny on earth. That's what He died to give you. That's the good news. And you're here, at least part of all of our destiny as the body of Christ, is to continually share the good news, that good news of that message. The good news of that message that, listen, you have an identity in Christ. He created it. It's there. Who He made you. And because of that, you also have a destiny. And the more you embrace this, the more you embrace this. The more you embrace who He made you, the more you'll find out why He made you. The more you understand who He made you, the more you get to know why He put you here. See, as a parent, I feel like my biggest job is this for my kids. Because if I can help them figure out who they are, I won't have to tell them what to do. If I can help them show them who God made them to be, I won't have to tell them what to do. Because they'll act out of their nature. They'll act out their identity. It doesn't mean they'll be perfect. It doesn't mean they won't make mistakes. They'll spill water on the house. But it does mean when they come back to it, they'll have an identity that pulls them into their destiny. God's calling all of us toward a destiny. Surround yourself with people who call out your identity and speak faith and hope and truth into your destiny. Surround yourself with people who call out your identity and speak faith, hope, and truth into your destiny. That is church. That's what I believe the church is here for. We're not here for... We have programs and we have fun and we do stuff and we have friendship. We do all that stuff. It's all very important and it's all very fun. But why we're here is so we can have a group of people that call out the identity in people. This is who you were created to be. It's why prophetic culture is so important. It's not just about what I... Even though we can... There's actually... lots we can say about each other. We should be able to say about each other good, encouraging identity stuff, even without a prophetic culture. But what we want is Christ's identity for you. Like, who's God saying you are? And then what's God put you here for? That's church. That's what church is for. As much as we can gather those people around us, gather each other around us to say, this is who God says you are. And this is why God put you here. At least for now. You're here and you're this person. What does that look like? Will you guys stand with me? Thank you. My desire is that we... I completely understand that that we're on a journey. It's not a destination. Our identity is not a destination. We're constantly learning about our identity and our destiny. We're constantly in this growing pattern where what we thought we knew yesterday, now we get an upgrade from. That's why that word upgrade is so important. Because we're constantly, no matter where we are, we're constantly available for an upgrade. God's got an infinite amount of upgrades for as long as you live. And I don't know how it works once we get to heaven. Maybe we get fully upgraded. I don't know. But while we're here, there's plenty. There's plenty to have multiple every day of this. Wow, there's another way of seeing who I am. There's another way of doing what I'm doing. God's called me even farther than I thought. There's more. There's more. There's always more. And what we want, what my heart is that's where we begin to live in a culture that speaks that over each other. There's more. Like, you're doing great. There's one thing which is, it's a massive swing of like, you're going the wrong direction. I understand. Like, so we've done that, and maybe there's some people doing that right now. It's like, man, I'm going this direction and it's not good. And there needs to be a massive swing in this direction, and I need to go this direction. But oftentimes, it's a nudge. It's just stepping over, because I'm already going this direction. I already have a relationship that I began with Jesus, and maybe I've just kind of tipped off a little bit, or maybe I've just stepped and just a little bit looked the wrong direction, or whatever it is. But most of the time, it's just a little bump. Where God gives you a bump and go, hey, don't remember. Just don't forget. Don't forget. Remember, bump back this way. But it takes this It takes a stirring up, this stirring up of and believing that that's the invitation. That you're not just here to come to church, that you're not just here to hear a message and hear some music and feel good, even though all those things happen, hopefully. But we're actually here to grow. We're here to get upgraded. And when we get upgraded, when we get an identity upgrade, our destiny gets upgraded, and we have more access to changing the world. Whether it's our immediate world or on and on. Sound good? You guys okay? All right, put your hand in your heart. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray for upgrade. With the full awareness that we all need a different upgrade. So Lord, we open up to you. We come to you humbly just saying, God, we need an upgrade. Upgrade our identity. Upgrade the way we see ourselves, because we more and more want to see ourselves the way you see us.
Yes.
We don't trust in our own reality. We want to see yours. We want to know who we were created to be. We want to know who we were created to be. Restore our heart. Restore our mind. Upgrade our identity. And God, in the same way, upgrade the revelation of our destiny. Reveal our destiny. I pray for dreams. I pray for prophetic words. I pray for prayers answered. I pray for angelic encounters. I pray for that we would openly hear the word of the Lord. But that we pray as we step into truth in our identity, God, we invite the revelation of our destiny. As we step in and align ourselves with what we know to be true and what you have created us, who you've created us to be, we invite a revelation of destiny, of why we're here, of what we're doing here. Not just a big, huge one, but even the little ones, even the day, the destiny today. What am I here today? What's today for? If I'm walking in my identity, what do I do today? Who do I be today? We thank you, Lord, that you have enough. You have enough for all of us. And more. We thank you, Lord, that you're not running out. You're not scurrying to try to find revelation to give to us. You don't run out. And we thank you, Lord, that you never give up. No matter how long of a detour we take to get to our destiny, you always have it there waiting. And I just speak over this group that we choose no more wasting time.
Yes.
No more detours.
Yes.
We invite the destiny of the Lord in our lives.